This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
We do have a little grit and grime when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
On TSN 1050.
Anyone that wants to drop grit grinder, we're likely going to play that audio. But it when just, you reach into the pants and
pull something out, you're talking danger zone.
Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Is the national anthem for anyone with a rat tail and mustache driving around right now. So this is for you. We respect and admire what you bring to the table when this tune comes on, because we know you're head bopping right now.
What is the name of the city that this could be the... Is it Keswick?
I'll tell you what. You slap on a Keswick dinner jacket and wheel around in a pickup truck, extra long D out the window, and you are in heaven.
I'm not kidding you. I almost got hit by a woman this morning. I was out walking my daughter.
Yeah.
And it was one of those
solo
streets.
Solo or fam walk?
No, it was a solo walk.
Wow.
I went dad of the year.
I would have had a meltdown if somebody almost ran over my child.
I went dad of the year this morning.
I got to guess, because when you were single, you were like driving all over people's lawns. Now you're dad mode. People are going 3 kilometers over the speed limit. You're like, slow down!
Are you yelling?
Well, this is what happened. I was on the road because it was one of those streets without a sidewalk, right? Yeah. So you have to walk on the road. And I hear this car come bombing around the corner.
No muffler.
No muffler. Windows down, the music's up.
Yeah.
And I can, you know when you can just feel it? You're like, this guy's not paying attention.
Yeah.
So I go into, like, protection mode. I push over to the side, and I turn over. And just as I turn around, I see this woman fighting with her lighter to get her darts sparked up. And I'm like, that's why she's not paying attention to the fact that we're on the road. She blew past us. There's no way she knew we were standing there. No way, because her lighter wouldn't spark.
Was she doing the triple veteran move, kneeing the steering wheel and both hands up covering?
That's exactly what it was.
That is the 20-year veteran move. Steering with your knee, both hands up to stop the wind. And
yeah, because she's got the windows open. She's shielding it with one hand.
Yep, that's exactly what it was.
Wow.
And I'm not kidding you, man. I almost went for a dirt nap because this girl could not get her Du Maurier light lit up quick enough. Those are the best, though, the guys who can drive from Montreal to Toronto without ever putting their hands on their steering wheel.
Eating a burger.
Burgers.
Smoke.
Cigarettes, whatever it is, and they've got the two knees, and they're just cruising down the 401.
I have to be honest. I've done that a million times. It happens. Especially out in the prairies. Like, I'm driving from Edmonton to Lethbridge, Alberta. All it is farmland. So you can see for miles and miles. So you're going 160 on the back roads, and there's not a person or a car in sight.
Well, I guess the cops can't really ever catch you, right? Like, how are they going to camouflage into the wheat or whatever?
I got pulled over once. I wasn't paying attention, and it was a cop car coming at me, and I was moving pretty good and flipped around, threw the cherries on, and I pulled over immediately. I knew I was caught. She came up and she said, I got you at a pretty good rate. And I said, I had at the time, I think, Missouri plates. She was pretty cool about it. She wrote me up, but basically gave me the lay of the land. If I accidentally didn't pay the ticket, it would disappear. This was years ago because of the cross-border issue. Now you're locked in because of computers and all that.
Well, that's what, and I don't think people realize that. Like, I got a buddy who was living out in Calgary, so he had Alberta plates. So he's a Canadian, too.
Yeah.
Right? He's a Canadian. This isn't like he drove up from Brazil.
Right.
The guy was living in Alberta, and he came home for a couple of weeks or whatever, or even more than that, and just started loading up on tickets. Loading up. He was parking in front of hydrants, double parking.
Just being a hero.
And he's like, they're not going to catch me. I'm like, dude.
They've got computers.
They're going to catch you. It's the 21st century, and you're in Calgary.
Yeah.
You're not in Tikrit.
Yes.
Right? Like, they're going to be able to track you down here.
Yep.
And sure enough, they did, and it cost them, like, $3,000 or something. Just being completely idiotic about the whole thing. Yeah.
What
so
happens?
Anyway, it is April Fool's today, which is the most annoying day of the year.
At 40, I believe it is. I'm just not in with. I'm not into it anymore.
Well, I got busted
today.
Yeah, I had a late night, early morning. I was on a flight to from Minnesota to here, so I get home. And I jump into bed for a couple hours, and I wake up, and you go on Twitter, and I take a peek at my buddy's Twitter account, and he announces that he's going back to his old job. And I was with him last night, so I send him a text, and I'm like, dude, you might want to have mentioned that last night when we were hanging out. He goes, it's April Fool's, you idiot. And sure enough, like, it was on me. But who does that?
It's amateur hour, and it's totally aggravating for guys like
Dude,
us.
It's so amateur. Like, you go on Facebook and you see the people that are at work saying, "This is what happened in my office today." It's like, "Oh, you want to be in grade 5?"
Well, that's what it is. Like you can't trust anything. You can't trust anything you read. So on a day like today, I'm trying to prep for the show, and I'm like, "What? Can I take any of this news seriously?"
Yeah. Well, that's the problem. Is somebody is floating it out there of all these different stories? I had a buddy who would literally call his mom every April Fool's and pretend he was a constable and that his son was in jail. And she would fall for it, but he'd come up with a different story. It was just, and he would laugh about it. He thought it was hilarious.
Well, I mean, really, Twitter at its worst on a day like today, because the parody and fake accounts actually become legit.
Yeah.
For a day. Like, you can't even get rattled with people about it because they're like, dude, it's April Fool's. And I was wondering about that, like, the April Fool's cop-out. Like, if you guys pulled a prank on me, and I just went ballistic, like, I wasn't in the mood, and I tore strips off both of you, like,
yeah,
just the worst things a human being could say.
Yeah.
If I called you back 3 hours later, after I blew off some steam, could I say, hey, April Fool's?
No.
You can't do that.
No.
But why not?
It depends how offensive you got.
But that's what I'm asking. Like, does saying April Fool's give you the ability to basically do anything you want?
That's what people think. But you're right. If somebody crosses a line, just not that knowing that it was April Fool's, but just cross a line, period, can you settle down and go back and say, yeah, I was just joking? I don't think you can do that.
That's what I'm asking. Like, if you go up to some guy and you say, I hate your kids, your wife is a witch, you're the worst friend on planet Earth.
Right.
And then 20 minutes later, after you had a coffee or whatever, say, April Fool's.
Yeah.
Just fooling around with you, buddy.
You can't do that.
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't try it. I'm just wondering.
We saw the other day how one guy thought something could be funny, and it wasn't exactly that funny out in Los Angeles.
D'Angelo Russell.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he thought that was funny.
How did that all play out?
Well, he got booed at the Staples Center. Like, he got called out for the opening lineup, and he got booed.
Right.
And I think he will likely continue to get booed in L.A.
So
for a while.
Hang on a sec. I have exclusive audio of him boarding the charter in Los Angeles, the Lakers charter.
It's like Tiger. Can't sit here.
That's
those are the kids from Forrest Gump.
Seats taken.
Those kids are so southern you could barely understand what they're saying.
I know. He is on that charter looking for someone to sit beside.
I heard this last night because it happened a while ago, right? But it just broke to the news somewhat recently, correct?
Mm-hmm.
My buddy, who's a Clippers fan and a Lakers fan, told me that the night that it broke within the dressing room and all hell broke loose, they lost by like 50 points that night. Do you imagine the circus that was in the room?
Well, that's what everyone has been pointing to, is like they've been looking back and they're like, okay, when do we think this broke? Oh, yeah. That looks that like a night. Game where it might have broken.
Yeah.
Because they probably were just snapping on each other before the game.
50 points.
Yeah, I mean, they're a debacle anyway. Yeah. They're maybe the worst team in the league or real close to it, but I don't know how he's going to overcome that. I don't know what Nick Young is going to do. I don't know what Iggy Azalea is going to do. Because I've heard that Nicki Minaj is somehow involved in all this.
Oh, really?
Because she hates Iggy. So it's Iggy versus Nicki. And somehow Nicki Minaj, her people, caught wind of the video, and they're the ones that actually leaked it. It's almost like Trump and Cruz with the National Enquirer.
Oh, I don't want to hear this.
Only Lion they're Ted? Running for president.
Yeah, Lion Ted.
Lion Ted Cruz. but, you know, when you consider April Fool's Day and how stupid it is, what do you think would be the greasiest April Fool's joke to pull on a Toronto sports fan? Where they actually bought it, hook, line, and sinker.
Steven Stamkos came out and announced he had intentions. Like, if he was allowed, and it actually wasn't true.
Yeah, something around Stamkos or anything to do with an Oilers and a first pick. Don't you think?
I think Stamkos tweeting out, I'm coming to Toronto.
Or no, here's...
I'm coming home.
Or...
Leafs win the lottery, but no, it's not. It's Edmonton.
What about Josh Donaldson tweeting, just blew out my knee, I'm done for the season?
Well, that would be, I'm knocking on wood for him right now.
That's not true, right?
No, it's not.
But you said it as if
I know
you were going to say he just tweeted that out.
But that's the kind of stupidity that comes with a day like today. I feel like that might be worse.
You
because
so?
Stamkos, we've never experienced. People in Toronto don't really know what that would be like.
Right.
People know what Donaldson is all about.
He's the best player.
Best player in the league, MVP. So, or what about Kyle Lowry came out, took a picture of his elbow and said, sorry, folks, I'm done.
It's broken in four places.
I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah.
I think those would be worse than Stamkos.
The two biggest. Well, because it's live action right now.
Exactly.
Not pertaining to the future of an organization.
It's in the moment.
So, yeah, those two would be for sure for the sports of Toronto. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I don't think there's anything else.
Like, those are the three most pertinent ones right now. Raptors, Leafs, Blue Jays. Like, the Oilers winning the lottery, but that's not even an April Fool's joke.
No,
people would actually take that seriously because
it
will be actually
happening. They've got a 20% chance.
Exactly. Right, like, as it currently stands, they are in the driver's seat for that first overall pick in Edmonton.
It is ridiculous. You're going to throw up every time you say that. You're so rattled.
Well, I mean, listen, it's
Mike Babcock
probably going to happen.
Mike Babcock said last week, you cheat the system, you cheat yourself.
But the thing is, Edmonton's not tanking.
No.
They're trying to win.
I know that.
Like, they are actually putting forth effort, or you would presume that anyway. Todd McClellan sitting there saying, we got to find a way to pick up points and pick up wins.
Yeah.
Like, they're not playing Garrett Sparks
on
the road. That's not happening.
I get that. I think... They're 1 year behind what the Leafs went through last year as far as with the new regime. That's what I'm talking about. Not just missing the playoffs and that. The new regime. Peter Chiarelli is sitting back like Shanny sat back last year and assessing, saying, okay, this has to change, this has to change, and I'm going to make this all happen in the offseason and, you know, that first year of assessment. Todd McClellan, he's on another level because he's had to be in the trenches witnessing it. And guaranteed he'll be a voice in that saying, I think we can move forward with these guys. These are the guys that we need either an upgrade or move past. It'll be interesting to see what happens because with Chiarelli's first full year on the job, what he does at the draft, what he does with some of these players, and not just Yakupov. Like That's an obvious one.
Yakupov, he wants out, they want him out.
But he's not going to garner that number one defenseman that they need or a number two.
I agree with what Ray said yesterday. It's Connor McDavid, Austin Matthews, and after that, it's open house. Come on in and look at something and make an offer on it.
They got to be careful, though, because if they trade the wrong guy or take back the wrong piece, like let's say they trade Leon Draisaitl and he does turn into the next Kopitar.
Yeah.
And they get a couple of good players back, but...
He would be one guy. I'm like a big 6'4" guy that moves like that and can play like that.
I'd be very careful with that. You want to call me on Taylor Hall? Let's do it. You want to call me on Eberle? Let's do it. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? Let's do it. But McDavid, Draisaitl, if they pick in the top three, whoever that is, Nurse, Klefbom, beyond that, I mean, I think I'm completely open for business, and I think that applies for so many of these teams.
Well, it does.
North of the border. I mean,
Ottawa was the last team, right? Like Ottawa, or two nights ago, Ottawa was officially eliminated.
Right, and they seem to be the team that is going to have a turnover behind a bench.
Yeah.
Like if I was placing money on the coach most likely to be fired in the country, it's between Dave Cameron and Michel Therrien, maybe Willie Desjardins, Maybe Paul Maurice. I mean, Maurice, I don't know. We'll see. But
depends on what the expectation level is. Was behind closed doors.
And they don't love spending money out there in Winnipeg, although Ottawa doesn't love spending money either. So if they keep spending money on these coaches that aren't actually going to be coaching, you wonder how that's going to factor in. But this offseason, it's shaping up to be just absolutely fascinating.
Well,
and so much turnover and so many potential trades and the amount of draft picks and high picks that all these Canadian teams are going
to
have.
We should have stopped working and just gone back in the summertime to cover it all, because it'll be way more fascinating for us come the draft, come free agency day.
So take this first, take March right off.
No, January 1st. We should have just mailed it in and said we're taking vacation until this Leaf stuff heats up. And
we should go Ted Williams, just freeze us. And warm us up, thaw our bodies on June 15th, then we'll snap out of it.
April 30th, because once the pick is unveiled, the speculation will start.
That will be very, very fun.
You know, we've got a bunch of what if Edmonton gets the pick, what if? If the Leafs get the pick, you know what's happening, but does that change a dynamic on a Stamkos situation? Like, that's the what if, so it's literally April 30th, that night, that Saturday night.
All right, you can thaw us out that afternoon.
Put us out.
Can you believe that Ted Williams is frozen right now?
No.
Like, the great Ted Williams. Like, there's a bunch of people that pay for it.
The baseball player?
Yeah, the baseball player. Frozen.
Cryogenics.
Yes, with the expectation that hundreds of years down the road, somehow they're going to be able to snap him back out of it.
I'd take that.
How much would you put aside? Like, would you? We all got kids here.
Yes.
And hopefully, if we're lucky enough, we're going to be able to leave some money for our kids when our time is up. How much of that pot would you take to freeze yourself with the expectation that maybe you can snap out of it in like 500 years?
If I could come back at 20, all of it's gone.
See, that's the thing. If you're at 85, what's the point, right?
No kidding. What, do you want to come back and live four days and then be like, I just blew $10 million. I lived for 4 hours. Yeah.
But that would be a great 4 hours to see what the future would
look
like.
Oh, my God.
But how much could you really get in 4 hours? I think I'd need a guarantee.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In the future, when you come back, you can press a button and almost like Star Trek, phase yourself to a different country or phase yourself into it. And you never know, in the future, 4 hours could be a lot longer because time could slow down.
See,
that's back, forward.
I think what I would
want. That's a back to the future type of situation.
Let's just be honest. We want a hot tub time machine.
That's what I'm saying, man. Yeah. I would need two different clauses in the contract. One, you know, I'll pay for you to freeze me.
Yeah.
But I don't want to be thawed out until I can go back in time. So, like, if you feel like you can thaw me out in 250 years, but I'm going to survive for, like, a week, don't do that, man. I'll wait 1,000 years. I'll wait 15,000 years. I don't care what
You don't want to be one of the patient exes when they're just trying stuff out.
Exactly.
Say, oh, I died. You know what? We should have done this.
I don't want to be a test patient.
Exactly.
Yeah, we thought out that Hayes character. He died 48 hours later.
Didn't go well.
Yeah, no, I don't want that, man. I want to be, like, way down the list.
Where it's just...
So that when I snap out of it and I wake up and I go Austin Powers, I take a 45-minute leak, and then all of a sudden I jump into a time machine and I'm 25 again somewhere.
There you go. Yeah, that would be pretty neat. I'd put aside a good chunk. I would, because...
Would you do anything different, or would you stay on the same course?
What are you talking about?
Hey, you come back at 25. Do you want the same... You're begging for the... You're like...
No, dude, because I was Peter Griffin at 25.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to go Griff again.
But you found the E-Train. You've got a little baby.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I think I'd want to go a little bit younger than that.
Really? Come back at 18.
I'd go back at 18.
Oh, I would, 18 years old.
I'd come back at 21.
21?
That way you can go anywhere in the world. You've turned a corner. 18-year-olds, they're still very, very... immature. We saw a 19-year-old mess with somebody's life 3 days ago.
That's true.
It was. I think 21, maybe there's a chance you've got a little bit more sense to you.
Okay. We've got the semifinals officially underway on Twitter of the bar play bracket. Both of them up on my Twitter account, at HayesTSN.
Two semis at once?
Two semis at once, because this is the way it's going to roll out, man.
How is the first one going to work out?
I've got to be honest. I've got
to
be
Listen
honest.
Listen to this. Leo... Post Titanic. Do you know who he's facing?
Who?
Freddy the Ghost. How the hell's Freddy gonna tackle that?
Hey, Freddy took down Bartolo Colon yesterday.
Oh, really?
He's a world beater. I'm voting for the Ghost.
I've got a a confession. So last night I meet a buddy who's got some clients in town. So they're asking, what's your show like? And so I said, well, we're kind of all over the map. We talk about things. And I said, well, we have this thing called the bar play bracket. They had a heated argument between Jeter and DiCaprio.
As they should.
Heated.
Heated.
Like, one guy's yelling and screaming, are you kidding me? DiCaprio? Like, he's like, DiCaprio, he's a world-renowned, you know, star. And my other buddy's like, it's Jeter every day of the week. And one buddy's from New York, one's from Chicago. They're arguing about our bracket.
That's what we were placed on this earth to do, is to debate bar play. And DiCaprio v. Jeter is still one of the all-time early matchups into a bracket. And I still can't believe Jeter's out. But it is Leo post-Titanic up against Freddie the Goat. The Goat's got an uphill battle here. That's, but I think he can pull it out.
He's going to get
I'm voting the goat.
I'm voting the goat.
Okay, so he's going to get three.
No, he's at 37%. He's in it, man. I'm telling you. The goat is going to survive here, I have a feeling. And then the other semi is Dougie Gilmore, 93, up against Timu in Helsinki. So that is a legitimate battle.
Wow.
Timu in Helsinki going up against Dougie Gilmore on King West back in 93.
I got a sneaky feeling that Dougie G in 93 versus Leo is our final.
It might be. We'll see.
And we do that on Monday.
We do that on Monday night, absolutely. So join us on Twitter at HayesTSN. 50 Hours in Vegas is back. We will give you the question of the day. Nazem Kadri back in the news. Mike Babcock may not be that happy about it. Blue Jays kicking off their season this weekend. There are a lot of things to get into this afternoon. We're here until 7 p.m. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
John Tavares will join us in about 5 minutes. Diehard Blue Jay fan. Kid growing up in Toronto, so we'll catch up with JT. We'll ask him about how he is going to prepare for the playoffs, but at the same time prepare for the Blue Jays season opener this weekend. So Tavares will join us in about 5 minutes. Nazem Kadri in the news because the league has finally caught up to him in terms of his diving and embellishment. We'll tell you about that. But 50 Hours in Vegas is back. 50 Hours on the Strip with TSN 1050, no accommodations and no reservations. Every day, one listener will pick up $100 cash and a chance to qualify for a trip for two to Vegas. This is how you win. Every day, we'll pose a question of the day. You tweet us your response at TSN 1050 Radio using the hashtag 50 Hours in Vegas, and we will read the winner on air. You must be 21 or over and live in Ontario. Today's QOD is, who's the one Blue Jay the guys should take along on their trip to Vegas and why? Tweet us at TSN 1050 Radio and use the hashtag 50 Hours in Vegas.
If you're in the game, well, then the stroke's the word. Don't take no rhythm.
Let this one breathe.
Don't take no style.
Just let it play out.
Is this a Billy Madison?
This is Billy Madison when he first goes to high school and he shows up with a leather jacket. And the girls go by him. They're like, you're such a loser.
That's the joke
this
from the bridge.
This is the card. Keswick National Anthem.
Well, our boy Marty from Keswick sent us a text and said, guys, if you want the true Keswick party anthem, fire up Billy Squire.
I just exhaled and cigarette smoke came out.
You said that Marty from Keswick has a mustache for sure.
How do you think Marty from Keswick looks walking into a working party or just any general event where he should be, you know, borderline sophisticated? Do you think he goes
high
suit?
Tops, blue jeans, and a Metallica t-shirt with white sleeves? Yeah. No doubt.
Yes, for sure.
Right.
For sure.
White hair sleeves, for sure. No yeah. pockets in the back of the jeans. And mix in an acid wash, not a modern one.
Yeah. Old school.
This song is so ridiculous.
And a dart in his mouth, for sure.
Yeah. Like, imagine hearing this song for the first time in, like, 1985 or 87 and being like, yes, This is
saying
the anthem.
To your buddy, have you heard this?
You got to get this record, man. We are rocking out this, this tonight.
I mean, Billy Squier is brilliant. He has another song called Everybody Wants It. I love it. Billy Squier is a beauty.
This is a great, great song, man.
Dude, when you get this into one of those old school taverns, the arm throws at the band or the music is just...
If you get a cover band playing this...
You get fist pumps in the air like someone just won the Stanley Cup. Right here.
The Kurt Gibson fist pump. What kind of career could you have? Like, what kind of money could you make if you became a Billy Squier cover band? 40 grand a year?
You're going to be playing in cities with not a lot of buildings in it.
60. 60 grand. You can make 60K for sure.
You make 60 grand a year.
Easily.
Touring around a city, or would you have to spread it out like
no,
all over?
No, you have to spread it out. You could do the province. Because you
make 60,000?
Oh, for sure. Oh, think dude, about
you,
this.
You go up to Sault Ste. Marie and with Billy Squier.
I'm lying. There's more because there's a band in Calgary called the Broken Toys. They used to play Morgan's Pub every Tuesday night. The place would be jammed, and they played old school tunes. And they dressed up. They dressed up basically like Motley Crue, hair band, everything. They'd play Bon Jovi, Billy Squier, all of these tunes. And I'm not lying. They made tons of money. Because people hire them for weddings, they every Tuesday night. I'm not lying. They jam it in there.
See, that's a tough call though. If you're going to hire a band like that for your wedding, your wife really has to be on board.
A buddy of mine had them at their wedding, a National Hockey League player,
and the wife was totally cool with that. Or was it kind of his thing where he got to pick the band?
She's from Saskatoon. He's from Saskatoon area as well. So it was welcomed.
Grit Central.
It was Grit Central.
Yeah, see, I had a band at my wedding, and they have a list of like 300 songs, right? They're not going to play them all, but they basically give you the opportunity to pick four or five that you really want them to play, and then one or two songs that aren't on the list that they will learn before the wedding.
Right.
And the one that we told them or asked them to learn was Benny and the Jets.
Right.
You know how I feel about that tune. And I think Chicken Fried by Zach Brown. So we got to fire that up too. Yeah. So they played both, and that was great. But I'm already regretting not asking for The Stroke by Billy Squier.
Oh, for sure.
Imagine they played The Stroke at my wedding at like 1 a.m., right when they were about to close up shop.
Now, that's the thing.
Big Moose would have liked that.
Had the old people left by then?
Yeah, they were out. They were out.
That was when I took over the band, I think.
You really put a show on later on that night. You went from 0 to 60.
Someone D'Angelo rustled you, too. There's a video. I've sent you the video. My buddy caught the big cat really sparking up some karaoke.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The shirt was real low. The tie was off.
Sweat stains? Was there some sweat involved?
Yeah, it was like NCAA coach.
You had a full John Horn lather going?
Whole nine. Anyway, we're going to catch up with John Tavares here at some point. The Blue Jays kicking off this weekend. Steve Phillips will join us in just over an hour. Future headlines coming up at 6:30. We will talk a lot about the Blue Jays this afternoon. Nazem Kadri, though, didn't play great last night. The Maple Leafs didn't play great last night.
Yeah, they didn't have a great one.
I don't think he dove. I mean, Noodles, you said maybe he dove at the end of the game.
Ryan, can you even tell anymore? To me, at the end of the game, it looked like he dove. That's why. Did you see the players from Buffalo going crazy? Like, come on, man. Are you serious? You again?
I have no idea when he does and when he doesn't. And that,
did
I
that
think,
Marcus, was it Foligno he tripped again?
Foligno was hoping to dance with him. He wanted a piece of him. I wouldn't knock on that door.
No, that's a...
The Foligno brothers are tough.
They are big. They are big men, the Foligno brothers. And it kind of runs in that family as far as the way that they play.
But when you watch him go down now, don't you look at it now and say... I don't even know.
Well, Brian, you hit the nail on the head. It's even he's going to struggle to get calls because he's going to have to take some punishment to get it. And that's the challenge for him now is there's going to be legit calls on him where the ref goes, nope, seen that act before. And he's drawn so many that you can go back. It would be interesting to see if you actually went back through all of his drawn penalties to see how many of them you thought were a dive. Because there could be a percentage in there.
Well, and the league announced today that they have fined him. They fined him on two different occasions. So they initially gave him a warning back in February. Early February, they said, hey, you're written up. This is your warning.
Yep.
And then early March, he did it again. So they fined him $2,000 for that game.
Yeah.
And then the game against Calgary, where he went down like he was shot, they fined him $3,000 for that. So he's been fined $5,000 total.
Right.
He's officially on the books. It's outed. This is not as if this was, you know, a victim of the media's attack or something like that. And we've received people sending us notes this week saying the only reason it's a story is because you guys keep talking about it.
No.
No, he's doing it. And the league, exactly, and the league has come across it now. Only being flagged three times might be a little bit surprising because when you consider how many times he's done it and all the penalties that he's drawn.
Right.
But I think what really is intriguing about this, now that he's been clipped three different times, the next time it happens, he'll get fined $4,000. And Babcock will get fined $2,000.
That will be a spicy meatball because you have to think there would be a man conversation behind closed doors saying, knock it off. And you know what? That's a shot across the bow of most coaches that are teaching that now. And I can speak to a coach that I had who's a very successful coach that said, anything near the face, anything higher up, throw your head back and sell it because that's what you're trying to do. But I think coaches have to be on notice as well.
So you think Babcock will give him the Tony Soprano?
Well, I think
he may. Don't you dare mess around here.
I think he may have a man conversation.
Babcock's got a lot of money. Babcock can afford $2,000 more than Kadri can afford $2,000.
Oh, for sure.
And he makes double the money. Anyway, let's bring in from the New York Islanders. Here is John Tavares. How you doing, John?
I'm good, guys. Yourself?
We're doing well, man. We're fired up for this weekend. The Blue Jays kicking off their season this weekend down in Tampa, and you're in a bit of a precarious position because you guys are preparing for a playoff run yourself. So how do you mix preparation for the playoffs and wrapping up the regular season with the fandom and the preparation for a Blue Jays season?
Yeah, it's that's a great point. I think when you're at the rink, you got to be all business and take care of what you got to take care of. And when you're at home, you know, obviously you still think a lot about the game and being ready for, you know, the final stretch here. And making the playoffs, but when you want to take a few minutes to get away a little bit, obviously be able to throw on some of the baseball and watch the guys start the season. So it's exciting, obviously, after the year they had last year.
Well, you guys flew up here for a playoff game, but that was back in October. That was early into your own season. I'm not even sure if you guys were playing yet. Can you pull that off during the playoffs of the NHL season?
Definitely not, I think. Those are tough circumstances, and you know, we were fortunate enough to have 3 days. I think we had them between games, and were able to come up and catch. I think it was game five of the championship series. So, you know, I think you hope to save some of the dates in July and August, and see some games then.
When I played for the Toronto Maple Leafs, I had a couple teammates, I won't name names, that would check their cell phones between periods for various other interests other than the game they were playing. I didn't really have a place to say anything, but you being the captain of the Islanders, what would you say if one of your teammates was checking his cell phone for scores or updates or anything else going on?
Yeah, there'd be some issues for sure. I think more would be the Masters coming up on the weekend here when you're playing games on the weekend and final weekend in season. The Masters is coming up, and it's obviously one of the biggest sporting events of the year. It's important you're focused on the game and the guys playing. I think we have a good enough group that everyone, I think, really you know, keeps everyone in check and good accountability within our room, and guys understand when to draw the line. So I don't think I'm too worried about that, but certainly, no question. I think anytime once, I always say when we do our meetings at the rink before the game, anytime after that, I think that's when we really try to dial it in and get off anything that's distracting and then focus on what we got to do.
Let's take it back to hockey and obviously the race to get into the playoffs. You guys are in a wild card position. Is there a lot of scoreboard watching now and tracking the standings because things are so close in your guys' conference?
Well, for sure. I think it's hard to ignore it. It's all around you, whether it's on your phones, it's on TV in the morning, or even during games, they come up on the scoreboard during the TV timeouts. So, you know, you see a lot of what's going on. But I think fortunate thing for us, you know, with the first 4 or 5 months of the season, we put ourselves in a good position to you know, where everything lies in our own hands, and we go take care of business one game at a time, you know, we're going to be able to obviously have that opportunity to qualify for the playoffs and fight for home ice and all that good stuff. So certainly it's there, but like I said, it's been a very tight race, and we put ourselves in a good position until maybe really two, 3 weeks ago when we had a little bit of a tough stretch and things got even tighter, but we've responded well over the last five games. So, you know, we got a big game tomorrow against Pittsburgh and with the way how things are so tight and a couple of big games early next week and then the Rangers midweek as well. A lot of great tests coming up and obviously going to prove where we're going to end up.
With John Tavares here on Overdrive, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app, the Islanders with a big win last night against Columbus, but also a big loss in terms of very important player Travis Hammond. It got injured, and it was announced, I believe, earlier today. He's out for the rest of the regular season, maybe back for the playoffs, but he's a big piece of your puzzle. How important is he to success come playoff time?
Well, he's huge. He, you know, logs the most minutes back there, plays in all situations, and, you know, plays against a lot of the top players in the league, and Hammer's a tough guy to replace. He's been very valuable for us. You know, it's not really a silver lining, but I guess, you know, last year was a similar type of issue. He got hurt in the second last game of the regular season and missed all of our playoff series against Washington, and a lot of guys had to step up, and Johnny Boychuk really filled that void in a big way, and a lot of other guys took a lot more responsibility in a very tough series and played very well, and, you know, we're one goal away from being in overtime or having a chance in Game 7 to go forward, so I think we're confident in the depth we have and the guys that can step up and fill that role. You know, Nick Leddy's an all-world type of defenseman who's had a very good season, so you know, we got guys back there that can step up, finish the regular season strong, and obviously we hope to have Hammer back to start the playoffs.
With John Tavares here on Overdrive. So Jays last year, 92 wins. They won the AL East, got all the way to the ALCS. Give us a prediction on wins. Will they win the AL East, and how far into the playoffs will they go if you believe they'll get there?
Well, I'll be a little modest. Obviously, they had a tremendous second half last year. And really took off. I know everyone's anxious to see after that final stretch, but it's a long season. So I'm going to go with 89 or 90 games. And I do think they'll win the division. I think, you know, they're just so deep top to bottom. I think the pitching is actually a little underrated. So they made some good moves. Obviously, you lose David Price. It's a big loss. But the way Marcus has pitched and really coming into his own, and Sanchez obviously looking to be an impact in the rotation all year should be fun to watch. So I think they can win the division. I think certainly Boston and the Yankees always make it interesting. So, you know, Baltimore is obviously very talented too. So should be a tight race, but I think they can win the division and obviously hope they can make the World Series, but there's a lot of very good teams. I certainly definitely see him in the championship series again.
Love it. Absolutely. Let's hope for that anyway. Best of luck the rest of the regular season into the playoffs, and we'll chat once everything wraps up. Thanks for doing this, John.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
John Tavares from the New York Islanders. Big Jays fan. Breaking it down.
He knew his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
Like, I was, you know, he's ready to break down the rotation, everything.
I love it, man. You can tell he's just one of those guys.
He's a sports fanatic.
Yeah, he's just a crazy sports fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be fun to hang out with at a Blue Jay game.
I think I'm a crazy sports fan, too. Like, when I go home, I don't watch, like, any show.
Really?
The only time I watch a show is when I travel. That's it. I never watch a regular show, ever. That's kind of stupid when you think about it.
There's some pretty good shows out there.
I know. As much sports as you watch, you actually find time to watch other stuff.
I mix in shows.
Well, I do too, but...
Right. Ray Ferraro in about 15 minutes. Steve Phillips at 5:30. Future headlines in the 6 p.m. hour. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
And now it's time for the 40-30 Wrangler Low Center of Gravity Grit Player of the Game.
I'm a professional grinder.
All right, the 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder is brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans. Oh, who's your grinder?
I'm going to go with Mike Condon, goaltender for the Montreal Canadiens. Earned his first shutout last night. It's been a tough year, but apparently he's a good guy. I believe he's their nominee for the Masterton.
Yep.
And he's my grit grinder. Shutout Mike Condon.
Phil Kessel.
He's like a proud father.
I'm not a proud father. I just think he played well last night.
That goal he scored last night was a bullet.
Wasn't that ridiculous?
That's Philip.
But that's him to a T.
Yeah, that's Philip.
I could use a guy like that here.
What's that?
No,
I
don't
use a guy like that.
Don't
start with that.
You moved past the player, but he got his 25th last
night.
Good for him.
Good for him. You moved on. The divorce is final. Life is fine for both sides.
Tobias Lindbergh,
yes,
making his debut last night. He set up that beautiful goal. Well, I mean, it wasn't the nicest goal, but what he did was very nice. He's a big kid. He's got speed. He played with passion last night, and he was the prospect that came the other way in the Deion trade. He's a good player.
He's on pace for 82 points. Might as well give him the Calder.
He'll be up for
everyone else.
All right, we'll talk about that in about 10 minutes. You're comparing Tobias Lindbergh to McDavid?
He's on pace for 82 points. That's all I'm saying.
All right, the 40-30 Low Center of Gravity Grit Grinder was brought to you by Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans, built with U-shaped construction and four-way flex technology. Wrangler Advanced Comfort Jeans are the most comfortable jeans you'll ever wear.
Guaranteed.
Ray and Steve Phillips coming up in the next hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.